Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
The UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak says he's not interested in pursuing a deal with Ireland regarding the return of asylum seekers. Meanwhile, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, speaking in London today, struck a far more conciliatory tone, saying cooperation between the two states is needed for a policy on returning asylum seekers. Well, Gráinne Ní Fhé, Dublin-based reporter, news reporter with the Press Association, and Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor with the Financial Times, join me now. And I'll start with you, Gráinne, if I may. The Taoiseach at the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference today, he said that despite talk of recent talk and the context, that was the context for the questions he was asked, he said that the two governments had a warm and constructive meeting.
Yeah, and I suppose he said that he's an experienced politician and has went into the meeting, he said, with the idea of working out a kind of a constructive solution to the issues. He repeatedly emphasised that when Irish ministers are going to discuss legislation tomorrow, it's going to be in response to a High Court case decision that was made last month, and it is not going to do anything dramatically different. It is just going to provide a legal basis for an agreement that was in place that didn't technically have the right basis in law for operating, and that nothing much more dramatic than that would be changed. And reassured, we hear British officials that that is the case. Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary, said that he believes, if that is the case, that he is quite comfortable with that. But they didn't really get into the meat of the issue around what would happen if the number of asylum seekers that are travelling to Ireland from the UK through Northern Ireland, if that number were to continue to increase, as the Irish government is claiming it will.
Well, can I bring in Lucy Fisher on that one? Because Chris Heaton-Harris, Gráinne is right, was quite comfortable with what was proposed. But he did say, Lucy, that any moves by Ireland outside of that might cause problems. Does that sound like a warning to you?
Well, look, it seems a bit like the UK government wants to have its cake and eat it. I noticed that Chris Heaton-Harris said, stressed that the UK didn't want to upset its relationship with Ireland on asylum claims, but suggested that, you know, since Brexit, the UK has been directed to deal with the EU as a whole entity. Well, up to a point, you know. Another issue that's been in the headlines in recent weeks has been on youth mobility schemes, where the EU would like to potentially, you know, negotiate a deal with the UK and the entire bloc. But the UK has to date been insistent on trying to forge bilateral deals with countries on such a scheme. So, you know, it's all very well for the Northern Ireland Secretary to say that the UK deals with the EU as a bloc, but it seems to be very much on a subject case-by-case basis.
Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, is very firm on this stance, isn't he? And he's saying they won't accept any returns. And he's saying, actually, that they'll be using all of this to add support to their Rwanda scheme.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, no surprise in some ways that Rishi Sunak is being absolutely firm that there's no way he would accept a return scheme. You know, immigration is such a flashpoint issue in the UK. This week, of course, we're heading into local mayoral elections on Thursday, so he won't want to kind of give any wiggle room on that before then. And in the general election too, you know, pollsters track that, you know, for people who voted Conservative in 2019, it is the most important issue, immigration, above both the economy, cost of living crisis, and the NHS and healthcare. So it's just absolutely crucial for Conservative politicians, they believe, to maintain a hardline approach on this. And as you say, you know... I was going to say, and as you say, you know, Rishi Sunak is trying to spin the suggestion that, you know, asylum seekers are heading to Ireland from the UK as a positive that showed that despite no flights taking off to Rwanda yet, that the scheme is already successfully acting as a deterrent.
It's an issue here, immigration, and has been for some weeks or months now, Gráinne, politically. I just wonder, though, from an Irish government's point of view, that, and Lucy alluded to it, the the campaigning in the run-up to the elections in the UK. Is the Irish government accepting that that might be causing some emboldened statements on immigration in campaign mode, so to speak?
I think it's possible. I think what we'll likely see is that this legislation will go to Cabinet tomorrow. Helen McEntee and her officials will go away and work on that quietly, some sort of bill in the background, and they will wait until the elections are over and what can be discussed on the common travel area in a more kind of calm setting. It's also not really clear what level, how dramatic the changes we are talking about in shifts in migration patterns are. So they might want to, for example, see how long this trend continues and get a bit more of a better idea on why it is happening, because all of this just sprung out of nowhere last week when the Justice Minister told a committee that 8 in 10 asylum seekers arriving in Ireland now had travelled across the border with Northern Ireland, which, as we understood it, had not been the case heretofore. So I think the government really need to come back with a better idea of what has shifted, because all of this seems to have come out of nowhere.
Okay, we'll try and find out. Find more on that during the programme as well. For the moment, though, Grainne Nier and Lucy Fisher, thank you.
Yes, indeed. We'll be looking further at the politics around this immigration impasse a little later in the programme. We're going to be hearing from Fine Gael's Barry Ward and also from Matthew O'Toole of the SDLP. But taking the political heat out of it for a moment, we're going to look now at what can be said with any certainty on the legalities of all of this. And we've been joined here in studio by David Leonard, who is a barrister with expertise in immigration and asylum matters. And you're very welcome to the programme this evening, David. So it's expected a memo is going to be brought to Cabinet tomorrow by the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, outlining this legal fix that in essence will enable Ireland to send asylum seekers back to the United Kingdom. Firstly, is that possible in your view, that legal fix?
It's certainly possible to fix the legal issue that arose from a judgment from the High Court last month. But just because the government can fix the law to make it legally possible as a matter of Irish law to send people back to the UK if they've travelled through the UK to claim asylum here, even if it's fixed legally, the Irish state will be able to send asylum seekers back to the UK only if the UK consents to that.
OK, so if we see there Rishi Sunak saying he's not interested in a deal with the Irish government to accept asylum seekers back from Ireland to the UK, that's a problem then?
It is a problem because you can fix the law, but if the government, if the UK government doesn't consent to receive people back to there, they can't be deported back because they're not UK citizens.
OK, separately then, the deputy leader of the Alliance Party in the North, Stephen Farry, he was speaking on the News at One earlier, and he said it was his belief that under the Windsor framework, there was a status attached to people in Northern Ireland, and that included those seeking asylum, which would mean they couldn't be deported from there under the Rwanda Bill. Would that sound right to you?
It would sound like a remote possibility to me because I've had a look at the relevant article of the Windsor framework, and it says that the UK can't reduce certain human rights to below the level that they were when they were when the UK was in the EU for Northern Ireland. But those human rights arise only in a number of narrow and discrete areas like discrimination in employment law. And it wouldn't seem to me that immigration rights or the rights that could potentially be breached by sending somebody back to Rwanda would be covered by that part of the Windsor framework.
OK. Can I ask you then about the border checks or the potential of border checks of people coming from the north of Ireland to the Republic and the legality of those? Because we're hearing that there are immigration checks that do take place, for example, on trains by Gardaí. Is that legal?
I would have thought there's no issue around the legality of that. You know, even years ago, I remember being on the Enterprise train from Belfast to Dublin and the train being boarded by Gardaí on the Irish side of the border, checking to make sure that nobody was trying to enter illegally. And I don't think there's any issue with the guards undertaking such checks.
I might bring you back then to the situation at hand and the government's attempt to fix it. Can you explain to me from a legal perspective what options are open to the government on this?
To fix the legal issue?
The legal issue in terms of exporting migrants from Ireland to the UK who have come here from the UK.
Okay, well, the legal issue arises from a judgment in March last month, and the High Court found that when the Minister for Justice here designated the UK as a safe third country to allow people to be sent back to there when they're trying to claim asylum here, the designation order didn't comply with EU law in a technical way, because technically the minister should have ruled out the possibility that there's an armed conflict in the UK.
Now, I know she didn't prove that the UK wasn't a safe country effectively,
and it's on a very technical basis to do with EU law. It would be very straightforward for the government to fix that by means of very straightforward legislation.
So if that was working before the High Court ruling, why wouldn't it start working again once that technical fix has been put into place?
Well, I mean, obviously the legal framework was there before the High Court ruling, but I'm not aware how many people were actually sent back to the UK under that framework.
OK, so we don't know whether or not it was working in practice or to what extent deportations from the Republic were taking place to the UK under this. We don't know. OK, and again, that's something we might return to after 5 o'clock. I just want to ask you about Brexit, because all the other rules that we commonly apply to immigration law, like the Dublin Convention, whereby the country in which an asylum seeker can first apply for asylum is the country that must process the claim, none of that can be applied in this instance. The Dublin Convention just doesn't apply to this instance.
The Dublin system doesn't apply to the UK after Brexit, so it would be up to EU member states, either on an individual basis or as a bloc, to have an agreement with the UK whereby the UK might decide to accept people back to there. But, you know, it seems that they would want France to be taking people back from the UK as well. There are a lot of things to be worked out.
In terms of the numbers that Helen McEntee quoted at that Justice Committee last week, and as Grainne Nia was saying to Cormac there, that the numbers sort of came out of the blue, this 80% figure of people who are applying for asylum in Ireland coming from the UK across the border into the Republic from the north. Does that ring true to you, or is there any way of knowing?
I don't have access to any other statistics, but it sounds like it probably is an accurate figure.
Can I ask you then finally, David, in relation to the Rwanda bill that has all now passed all the legislative stages through Parliament in the UK, it's still believed, I think Rishi Sunak was saying today, 10 to 12 weeks before the planes actually start going into the air carrying those who are due to be deported leaving the UK for Rwanda. Would you expect challenges to that bill, or at this point is it a fait accompli?
I would definitely expect legal challenges in the UK courts to proposed returns to Rwanda or deportations to Rwanda.
So those planes might not be taking off in 10 to 12 weeks?
I wouldn't bet on it. Maybe it's possible the law has been passed, but you know the courts may find ways to find that it's not actually completely lawful.
OK. It's very interesting to speak to you, and thank you for joining us. That's David Leonard, who's a barrister with expertise in immigration and asylum matters.